This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
And we welcome you to the WPGM Community Forum. We take our microphones to the campus of Susquehanna University, where the Snyder County Coalition for Kids recently held their annual conference. We had time to sit down with Dr. Pat Bruno. You may recognize that name. He was the driving force behind the Child's Advocacy Center that was initially in his office in Sunbury, then at Sunbury Community Hospital, and now affiliated with Geisinger. The center helps identify various forms of traumatic child abuse and neglect and works in a unified fashion to treat and, where appropriate, investigate and facilitate prosecution and work on recovery. Dr. Bruno is now an author. His book, How Can I Not? Reflections on a Life Evaluating and Treating Victims of Child Maltreatment, chronicles the legacy since the 1970s of his trying to advocate for children who once had no voice. He is an active pediatrician, medical director of the Central Susquehanna Valley Child Advocacy Center, which is now a division of the Geisinger Janet Wise Children's Hospital. Here is our conversation with Dr. Pat Bruno.
You had to write your book. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was, it's a lifelong experience, and that's what I tried to put on paper. The difficulties in trying to create a children's advocacy center in rural Pennsylvania, the difficulties that we all face when dealing with child abuse and it's a multifactorial, multidisciplinary, multigenerational type of problem. And a lot of the systems are involved, and a lot of the systems that deal with this have their glitches and cracks and complexities, and trying to put this all together and trying to help a child heal after all this has happened to them is difficult. It's really difficult, and I wanted to put something on paper that would illustrate the cracks and the complexities that exist when all these cultures, governmental cultures and social workers and physicians try to work together to deal with the problem. And it's our approach has evolved over a period of time, and I think we're doing a better job but than we did, say, in the 80s and the 90s. But there's still things that we need to improve. We need a much more holistic approach, and we need to approach this problem because it's a multi-generational problem. It's not just one generation. It's not just the child. Most of these parents have been abused in one way or another. So I want a more holistic approach that we're not doing at the present time.
Now, you say there's cracks and complexities, and you started to experience them and know about them in the late 1970s and early 1980s and through the 80s.
I was one of the early adopters of child abuse pediatrics. Child abuse, child maltreatment has existed forever, but it did not become a clinical entity until the 60s and 70s. And that's when we recognized we had scientific information as to what was happening to these children. And it was, an onerous task because I was ill-prepared. I didn't have a good education. Even though I did an excellent pediatric residency, we just weren't trained in particular with child sexual abuse. Child physical abuse is a little bit more apparent, but child sexual abuse, we just didn't know. We just didn't have the training, nor was there really good scientific data in terms of child sexual abuse, what the actual anatomy was down there. We didn't even know that. So early 80s, with some scientific breakthroughs, it certainly helped us in terms of evaluating kids that were sexually abused. But, you know, I came into Northumberland County in the late 70s and through the 80s, and Northumberland County led the state in the number of actual and reported cases of child abuse per capita by about three or four fold. And so I ended up seeing all these children and felt that I was ill-prepared and, you know, ended up seeking some additional training and essentially cloned the unit that I trained at in San Diego and brought it back before the board of directors of the hospital. I said, got a problem. This is a community problem. And you know, these were community leaders, and they provided the equipment. They gave me space. So over my lunch hour, I zipped over. They gave me a nurse, and we did a couple exams. Then I zipped back and just started my general practice. So that's how it all started in the late 80s.
We've made some progress, but we have a long way to go.
Yeah, definitely. And I sort of alluded to that. This is a multi-generational problem. And heretofore, we've been dealing mainly with the children and trying to do a really good job with them, decrease the re-victimization process that's sort of inherent when kids have been interviewed ad infinitum. The original way, back in the 80s and 90s, what would happen is children's youth services would get notification that somebody's been abused. By law, they had to go out, interview the child, and then if it were severe physical abuse or sexual abuse, by law, they had to notify the police, who would interview the child. If the police thought it was a prosecutable case, they would notify the DA, who would interview the child. If they felt an exam was necessary, I would interview the child. So all told, there were probably about 12, 15 interviews of this child. So the kid was re-victimized by the whole process. Then the whole idea of the Children's Advocacy Center started in the late 90s. So with the Children's Advocacy Center approach, the motto is one child, one place, one time. So same scenario, Children's Youth Services interviews the child, they do a mini interview, and then they call the Children's Advocacy Center, and we arrange for everybody to be there to watch the interview through a one-way mirror. The child is interviewed by somebody that's been forensically trained to interview children, and that can be utilized in court because the video it's videotaped and it can be used in court. And our forensic interviewer doesn't ask leading questions, and she can talk about the interview in the court as well. So it cuts down, it truncated the whole process and allows the child to get into healing quickly. Because if this ever goes to court, and just a small percentage do, it's going to be a year, 2 years. My most recent case, it was 3 years. We saw the child when she was 8 years of age. It didn't come to court until she was 11. Defense lawyers love that. They love to continue that because it bodes well for their client. It doesn't bode well for the kid.
And we still have a long way to go.
Yeah, we do. We do. And I want a more holistic, more multi-generational approach involving more professionals. We've got the wherewithal. We just don't have them in one place. And what I'd like to do is, for the multi-generational portion of it, is have experts in like nutrition and home health and brain health care needs, people that know about toxic stress, and have all those people in one area and look at a family and decide, okay, this is what we're going to do for the mom, this is what we're going to do for the child, this is what we're going to do for the dad. And we don't do that right now.
We all have a responsibility to act. Elaborate on that sentence.
So there are a lot of cases that I've been involved in that, children have been abused, and I know that other people in the family knew that things were going on, and they didn't report it. You got to report it. If you're aware of it, you have to report it, because we know that abuse is a cycle, and particular with physical abuse, it just gets worse, and it gets worse, and kids can die. So we all need to, one, report abuse when we see it. And we also need to try to work more upstream in these cases. And by that, I mean, we know that there are certain families that have certain risk factors, and we need to deal with those risk factors and those families before they actually have the child. A great example is the Nurse Family Partnership. Great program. Research-based. It's been in Pennsylvania for 23 years. Prior to that, it was in New York and Colorado and Tennessee. What they do is they pair an RN to a mother-to-be, a high-risk mother-to-be, usually a teenager, not married, high risk for child abuse. And that nurse becomes mentor, friend, follows the pregnancy to its termination, and follows the child thereafter for 2 years. Been known to dramatically decrease the incidence of child abuse in a very, very high-risk population. Decreases visits to emergency rooms. Just a great, great program. We need to have more of those upstream approaches.
You refer to gun violence as an inhumanity. Just tell me about that as much as you can.
Oh, yes, gun violence. It goes on and on and on and on. And I talk about this in my book because I feel it's governmental neglect. It's governmental maltreatment. There are things that they can do. When we see one mass killing after another, after another, after another, and we do nothing about it, that's inhumanity. It's insanity. And we've got the means, we've got the tools. One of the things that I mentioned in the book is that in the 30s, had machine guns on the streets, and legislators decided we shouldn't be having machine guns on the streets. So, they passed the legislation and machine guns were banned. Every single legislator voted for that, Republicans and Democrats. And it was passed and machine guns were banned. We need the same sort of thing with these AR-15s. There are so many of them on the streets, and, they it's obscene that we stand by and we don't do anything.
So there are some things we can do. Growing resilience and obtaining wellness. Last question, grow. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that is my more encompassing approach to child neglect and maltreatment. It's a multidisciplinary, multigenerational approach involving many professionals who gather together and decide how can we best help this family? What are their needs? So it's not just child-centered, it's family-centered. So what can we do to help this family learn about toxic stress? What can we do to help this family learn about adverse childhood experiences, et cetera, et cetera? So we've got all these people, but we don't have them in one area, and they're certainly not discussing cases as we see them in at the Children's Advocacy Center. I would like to have that type of approach, a more holistic approach to this problem. There's a lot of information in the book which we obviously haven't covered, and there are ways in which all of us can make a difference in the lives of these very vulnerable children and families. And as I've stated multiple times, all it takes sometimes is just one caring, attuned adult who gives a child unconditional love. And I cited that in several examples of case studies in the book. So read it, cry for the children, but think about how we as communities, how we as individuals, the coalition, the Snyder County Coalition for Children, can make a difference, a worthwhile difference in the lives of these children and families.
I thank Dr. Pat Bruno for taking time out of his busy life and medical practice to talk to us. The book, How Can I Not? Reflections of a Life Evaluating and Treating Victims of Child Maltreatment, is available on Amazon.com. He will have book signings in our area in the weeks and months ahead. He is an active pediatrician, medical director of the Central Susquehanna Valley Child Advocacy Center, which is now a division of the Geisinger Janet Weiss Children's Hospital. He was the keynote speaker recently at the annual conference of the Snyder County Coalition for Kids. Thank you for tuning in.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.